You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right, okay. So, I'll read the introduction of today's discussion. It says, encouraging open and honest communication around these topics, topics of faith and the future, can foster a deeper understanding of the intersection between faith and aspirations in the lives of Christian girls. It's an opportunity to share personal experiences, gain insight, and provide support within the context of a shared Christian worldview. Is there a choice between faith and the future for young girls, or does it all work out in the end? We'll find that out by the end of this discussion. So Ruth, we'll just start it off immediately. How should Christian girls perceive their calling or purpose in life, considering that they're Christians and they shouldn't look, they should have a Christian worldview? So how should they perceive what their calling or purpose is in life?
Hope, that is a very important aspect of life. Everyone has a calling and everyone has a purpose. But I want to come to the very beginning of everything, where everything begins, that right. Before your purpose, before your calling, before anything, we need to start at the very beginning of where these things are coming from, how they come about, how they are created, and so forth and so forth. And so I want to come back to the very beginning, that is Genesis 1 verse 1, where it says, in the beginning God, in finding a purpose, in finding your calling, yes, in finding who you are, in defining your character, and bringing yourself to the world, how you present yourself, it has to begin with God. And in beginning with God, we are also coming to Proverbs 16 verse 3, and it says, whatever plan you have committed to the Lord, and he will establish it. So to begin life, begin with God. To find your calling, whatever you have found, commit it to God, and it will be established. So what I'm saying is, you cannot run away from God in finding your calling. You can't run away from God in whatever aspect of your life, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, you cannot run away from that. There is a need for God in every aspect of your life.
Okay, before we continue, I just want to deviate based on what you're saying now, that we need to find these things by looking to God first. Do you think we're afraid to look at God because we're afraid that he wouldn't necessarily agree with some of the things that we want to do?
It is very true. There are, sometimes we are afraid to see the truth of what God is saying. We are afraid he's in disagreement. We are afraid of the truth of what he will tell us. But it now comes back to establishing a relationship with God and having a faith in God. And allow me also to come through with something else.
Okay.
This kind of faith, this kind of, finding yourself in everything, including God and being able to accept what God is saying, begins with the parents, begins with the caregivers of the child. It doesn't just happen. As a family, the foundation of the Christian faith, is found in a relationship with God, who has made each one of us unique and has made a special, unique spot for each and every one of us in his heart. And so what I'm saying is, a foundation needs to be laid. A foundation, it begins from the day a child is born, to determine how they are going to perceive their goals later on in life, their perception of God later on in life, their perception of faith later on in life, their perception of religion, of Christianity as a whole, whether you're going to choose to be a Christian, whether you're going to be Muslim, whatever you're going to be, it begins from conception itself. Instead, from the moment that child is made, those things are already going on. And so you know, there are stages of the Christian faith from birth. So from 0 to 4 years, there was an author who says you begin to lay the foundation. That's where you're already singing to that child. Tell, you know, even if they can't respond to you yet, you're already telling them of God. You're already imparting something. You're singing, Jesus loves me. You're already telling a child that there's a higher power. There's something up there. There's somebody greater than us who loves you. And from 5 to 6 years, you are establishing and teaching about relationships, the social life around. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in strength and with favor with both God and men. You are imparting that part to the child. And from 7 to 9 years now, you are giving them reasons for their faith. That's where it now matters. At the age of 7 to 8, what are you doing as a parent? And I'm saying it doesn't have to start at 7 to 9 years old. It begins from 0 to 4, right, where you are already planting those seeds of faith in that child. And then we come to the ages of 10 to 12, which is so critical, very critical, where, you know, we are supposed to be preparing them for baptism. They have to be making that decision. And so you are helping them make the right choices. And one of the most important choices now is seeing, have you tracked their journey of faith? How far have they come? What have I done as a parent? Was I a faithful steward? Was I a faithful caregiver of this child? God, you gave me this one. Have I been faithful? Have I done the right thing? Is this child ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ? These days we have children, you know, going, you know, into their late teens, and they are still wavering between opinions. You have, you know, they're not sure whether, you know, you even see them at church and you can see that, hey, something is off here. The way they, you know, you had all those years. What have you been doing? What have you been speaking to your child? So I'm saying, as caregivers, as parents, let us, from the age, from the moment that child is in the tummy, let us begin a legacy of passing on faith.
That was, I feel like I should even just end the discussion there. But, you know, something that you, like, I'm not a parent yet, right? And something that I've noticed growing up, based on my own experiences, based on what I have witnessed, I've realized that I think people need to start being careful, not careful necessarily, but they need to start being intentional about the decision to have children, because there is a heavy responsibility that comes with raising children. You are basically shaping the future, and God does not take that lightly. And like you say, everything you do from the moment that child comes into existence, it is going to play a role in the type of development you are nurturing the child into. So you are very right that as much as kids, we can start deciding things, but the heavier responsibility starts with the parents to make sure that they shape their thinking and their worldview the right way, so that when kids are able to start making their own decisions, they make decisions the right way as well. Thank you so much for that. Okay.
Thank you.
To bring us back around then, so in what ways should faith influence the goals that young girls set for themselves? So and then the second question says, how should they align their aspirations with their Christian beliefs? So I wanted to ask, when it comes to aligning with our Christian beliefs, does that mean that the careers and the types of futures that we want need to be, for lack of a better term, like holy? Like, I must dream to be an evangelist or the head deaconess of the SID? Or am I allowed to dream of a career that is not necessarily a Christian career, but that does not oppose my Christian beliefs?
We have Philippians 4 verse 13.
Okay.
It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
I have coined it to say, I can be anything I want to be through Christ who gives me strength. Our God does not limit us. Our God says, you know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, you know, He has given us prosperity, plans for us to prosper. Our God, let us not limit our God. Let us not put him in a box. Let us not, you know, prescribed for him. Our God wants greatness for us. Our God wants big things for us. In the Bible, we have kings, we have queens, we have businessmen, we have businesswomen.
Listen.
What is that saying? What is that saying? You can be anything. You can be anything as long as it aligns with God, as long as it does not hold you back from having your relationship, from going to church on Sabbath. You know, if as long, I believe, it's my belief that as long as you are not breaking the commandments of God, God allows you to have it. So if you are meant to be at the GC, we praise God for that. If you are meant to be sitting in parliament, we thank God for that. It is what God has called you to become. And what matters is that you flourish, you brighten the corner where you are. But there are also going to be careers and aspirations that we know that, right here, this is off, this is off, this is off.
Right.
And off the top of my head, I can think of becoming a rapper. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, you know, our children these days, they think like that. They are woke.
They want
like
to be
that.
In the entertainment industry.
Exactly, exactly. But are those aspirations aligning with God? So it comes back once again to a work that we do with children. In my own capacity, I'm going to speak about self-awareness.
Okay.
I speak a lot to young ladies and even young men sometimes about self-awareness, something that you need to cultivate. And self-awareness is saying, part of it is saying, who am I? What do I want to be? What are my values? Most of all, do my values align with God? Do they align with what my family, with my own family values? You cannot run away from God in putting your aspirations in place. You cannot run away from God in from your family as you set your values. You cannot run away from God. Once you have set your values, once you have said, this is what God says. If God says, be kind, I'm going to be kind. If God says, I want to be a kind person, you are not setting those values for, you know, for everyone. It's for yourself, for your own selfish reasons. And once you have decided who you are going to be, how you are going to be in the world, your values will speak to you and say, you want to be a rapper, but what are your values?
True.
You want to be this, but what are your values? What are God's values? Where does God come in the middle of all this? And I'm saying that's the relationship between our children's aspirations and God. It needs to work together. You cannot separate the two. You cannot.
Okay, so You've basically touched on how they can strike they can strike a balance between pursuing their personal ambitions and maintaining a strong faith and all of that. So now, when they encounter challenges, you know, in their pursuit to these dreams, these big dreams that they have, how can they use their faith to help navigate those challenges? So if they've aspired to be the CEO of a company that, you know, is in the corporate world, how do they use faith in that scenario to navigate the challenges that they will experience in the real world?
You know, we spoke about passing on the faith from birth, from conception. And children also learn by observance how, as parents, we treat situations as they come to us. How are we exercising our muscle of faith? That is their first school. That is their first socialization. We cannot run away from it. And from there, as you meet your challenges as a parent, your child is also looking, is also learning, is watching and saying, I saw mom pray when this happened. I saw dad pray when it when this happened. When this happened, when we were about to lose our house, we prayed. And when we prayed, God worked a miracle. And so what I'm saying is, the muscle of faith needs to be exercised from birth. From the moment it happens, from the moment a child is born, begin to exercise their muscle of faith, such that when bigger things happen, you know, the song says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Are you creating a weakling or are you creating a hero of faith?
Hey, parents, are you listening?
Today I'm speaking to parents.
I can hear it.
To speak to girls. I'm speaking to parents. This one is coming back to us, guys. It's us. Because God has given us a responsibility.
Hey.
You know, to say, I have given you this one. What is your... Do you have a strategic plan for your child? What are your aims and goals by the age of 12? What should they have become? By the age of 10, by 5 years old, what are you ticking off? What is your strategic plan? What is your goals and aims? You know, we need to think in those terms to say, God has given me a product here.
Right.
One that I should develop. What am I doing with it? And so you find that by the time your child is 21 and they meet a challenge and they are drowning. It should have began at conception. Yes. Well, ask yourself every day, if this happens to my child, will their anchor hold? Is their muscle of faith strong?
Hey, this is heavy.
I always I was speaking to my aunt the other day about how I view challenges. You know, you could be going through the most, the worst chaos of your life. Mm-hmm. And what I see it is like, I'm envisioning a cross, right? Mm. And it's in the middle of the ocean, if you can see in my 3D, and the water is going everywhere.
Okay.
There's water everywhere. And, you know, the boat has gone, and all there was this cross to hold onto.
Okay.
And the storm is going to come, and no matter what is coming, no matter what is happening, I am holding on for dear life. Or are we letting go and allowing our children to fall for peer pressure, for temporary pleasures of the world, for bribes, for going to sangomas, for quick fixes, for riches, for, you know, all those options are there. So I'm saying, parents, have you done your honest part of passing on the legacy of faith to your children? Can you stand here honestly before God and say, God, I have done my best. I can leave this one standing at the corner of the streets and nothing will have changed. My child will go to school today and they are the same person who left home in the morning. Their character is unwavering. I know they will stand for their faith though the heavens fall.
Wow. I am you're rendered speechless. I feel like this is something that should burden the hearts of parents. And that is why it just breaks my heart when I see children being brought into the world so carelessly and mindlessly, and they suffer and their futures are just doomed because parents don't take that responsibility as seriously as they should. I honestly... think I'm not going to even ask any further questions because you've just wrapped it up nicely.
Really?
I don't want to spoil what you've said, because I think genuinely, as much as, you know, we trying to instill these principles and in young children and stuff, but it's really important for parents to know that they're responsible as well. They have a role in who their children become. And they need to start looking within themselves to see, what have I done? And when God comes to ask and want a report on what you have done as a steward of his children, you will be able to answer and say, I have done my best and this is my best. Oh, I've taken notes. I'm going to be thinking about this before I bear a child.
you have an obligation to God. You cannot run away from that.
Oh,
that
no.
child is yours, but they are not yours.
Mm-mm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
God has borrowed us his children, so let us
care
for them as if they are God's children. Thank you so much, Ruth, for this just enlightening session. And I genuinely hope the parents who are listening have taken what you have said in account. I'm going to podcast this thing and make sure it's played again sometime in the future, because this is something that parents need to be reminded of every other month to say, hey, do your job, be a parent. Thank you so much, Ruth. I hope you have a blessed day, and the rest of your week is blessed too.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Hey, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.